Lucy and I no longer walk the hard earth today, and we weren't much to see when we first walked present-day Ethiopia just over 4 million years ago. Back then, we were less than 4 feet tall. Anthropologists now call us Australopithecus. That word makes no attempt to summon up anything human. It literally means southern ape. We'd only just learned how to walk on our hind legs, and our kinship with you hadn't gone too much beyond that. Our brains were about the same size as a chimpanzee's, about one-third the size of yours.
Adam, you should tell about paleontologist Dean Falk, how she explains the evolution of our brains into what they are today. Her book, Brain Dance, shows how our brain might have been the key to the whole business.
Well, Falk begins with the discovery of the first Australopithecus skull in South Africa in 1924. In those days, paleontologists avoided controversy with anti-evolutionists by classifying anything that might have been our ancestor as human. In fact, that's how one of the major anti-evolution myths grew up, the myth that we've never found the missing link. Lucy and I were that link, but nobody was about to say so out loud. In any case, Falk found structures in Australopithecus' brain that were ape-like, not human. For more than 2 million years, Lucy and I walked upright, with our hands free, and yet our brains remained those of an ape. Then, about 2 million years ago, our brains began growing. They took on the kinds of folds and creases that your brains have today. A species called Homo habilis emerged with a 40% larger brain. By 1.5 million years ago, another species, Homo erectus, had evolved, and it was walking the hot plains of Central Africa with a brain more than double the size of Australopithecus. Although Lucy and I were still around in our original Australopithecus form. Falk struggled to understand what had happened, and then something emerged from her subconscious. One day her car mechanic had told her, "The size of your car's engine is limited by the capacity of its radiator to cool it." Well, that was it. The brain is terribly sensitive to changes in temperature. It absolutely must be cooled in summer and heated in winter. But where is its radiator? Falk began studying the blood supply to ancient brains. Sure enough, along with changes in brain size ran an evolving blood delivery system. When Lucy and I took to our hind legs, our heads had to bear the brunt of the African sun, and we began changing very slowly. More holes appeared within hominid skulls to provide access for more blood to cool the brain. The radiator of a Model T evolved into the radiator of your Rolls-Royce brain. It was about 150,000 years ago that our brains reached their full modern size in, of all people, the Neanderthals. They began creating art, building huts, burying their dead, and worshipping deities. They weren't toilet-trained, it seems, but then, if you look at our lakes and rivers, maybe we aren't either. However, we now had our radiator, and now the real fun could begin.